Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Amen and amen. Would you please turn your Bible to Psalm 67, the reading of Psalm, God's holy word. And yes, you may be wondering, is he going to make us stand up again and read responsive reading as to catch up our scripture reading? You betcha. Would you please stand and I will read the odd numbers and you will read the even numbers of Psalms 67. Okay. All right, I will guide you. I will give you a clue. If you have your Bible, please turn your Bible, the Pew Bible, NIV Bible, into page 411, Psalm 67. If not, whenever I pause, read the verses, and then I will begin my part whenever I think you're done. All right, here we go, Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among the nation. Oh, I just messed up. Let's do it again. This thing continues, you know. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. May the people praise you, God. May all the people praise you.
May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you
rule the people justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the people praise you. Let us read the last verse together. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Joy. You need it. I need it. Sometimes we run with joy. Our cup is full, overflow with joy. Sometimes we have half full or half empty. Sometimes we run on totally empty. And sometimes we go deficit on joy. Christmas season. Yes, for many it is a time of joy, a time of memories, remembrance of good times and families and friends. I don't know about your tradition, but I remember my tradition when I first got here 22 years ago. My adopted American family had this tradition all long ago that wherever their children are, they're going to send their love, the card, the Christmas card, but also along with this little box called the Petit Four. Remember those little square cake-covered chocolate things? I call it good stuff, all right? I think the name is Petit Four. And they found me wherever I move, whatever location I'm in, Christmas time. The Petit Four will arrive right at the beginning of Christmas time, and in my place or at my location, it will last one day. And it will have about, 60s or 70 little squares things in the box. Then it got changed over time. I met my wife and we got married, and the tradition continued for some reason. From now, from enjoying the whole Petit Four to sharing with my wife, right in the middle, splitting the box half and half, we have my side and your side. Sometimes we mark it with our own territory marking. We say, do not touch it, right? You've done that. Some of you have done that. Perhaps worse. Then it's fine. For years, we adjusted to it. Two people, no problems. Then something happened. Someone showed up in our household. From poo, one to, we became poo to three. And we had to share with a little one who loves nothing but candies and chocolates. Now I lost my share. I just want to let you know I lost my joy this morning, not having Petit Four. Well, what's our tradition? Well, think about the season in the very first Christmas. The tradition. We thought, well, if we could just go back in time in those good old days, be like, well, you know, the time of Pax Romana or the peace of Roman, where there would be no troubles, no, all filled with joy, and there would be no struggles. Just like Mary and Joseph, right? With the baby. Think again. Imagine the story that they had to travel from one location, one town to the next town, traveling on foot journey, riding on perhaps fully pregnant, 9 months carrying this baby, and giving birth on perhaps a donkey if she got lucky, traveling from one town to the next. By the order of the Roman Emperor, they had to travel and giving birth. Now, I don't want to dramatize and try to make that natural giving birth of how wonderful that is. It is a joyful event for family. And by the way, congratulations to Judy and Larry, the family, for welcoming the newest Gwen's son, Lincoln, who was born this past week, correct? So congratulations. Yes, yes. And, you know, it's the joy of families and friends and parents and grandparents and the overjoy. I mean, Judy was all in style. I even see the Facebook posting. I mean, she was all in, like, all post up joyful and grateful. But mothers, you know that giving natural birth is no joyful event the moment you, I mean, it is a very joyful event. But it's not a painless event, right? Gentlemen, I have heard this before. If you want to experience giving natural birth, I'm speaking to the congregations here, and only men only for now, all right? Let's experiment this. Okay, don't worry. I'm not going to go too far with this. Gentlemen of the house, would you please pull up your lower lips and pull and cover your head? Let's try this if it works, all right? Let's pull this all over and cover our whole head and pull it back. See if it works. Okay, so you don't want to follow. I know you know that it involves painful process here doing just it, right? And someone has said that if you want to experience giving natural birth, try to pull your lower lips and see how painful it is, and then try to cover that. That much is painful. Now, I don't want to go through the details of giving birth, but imagine having no place, no rooms, no just place to simply rest, like to find, where's my pillow? Where's my room? Is there going to be a nurse waiting for me? Is there going to be a doctor there? None of those were available just by themselves, traveling on foot, going to Bethlehem. That's the journey of Mary and Joseph. In the obedience to God, they went and they traveled to Bethlehem. And I think of people who travel to Bethlehem with joy. You think of the shepherds, don't you? You think of the shepherds, they were tending the flocks. Perhaps that they were tending the flocks that belonged to the temples. These sheep will be used to sacrifice for the sins of many. So these shepherds were tending these flocks near the temple of Jerusalem. And pooh, the angels appeared. And some of you are saying, is that really the sight's fact? It wasn't. I'm just making this up, all right? The angels appeared in the sky, populated the sky. And the message came to them. What? Behold, what happened? What was the message? Fear not. Do not be afraid. If you look at Luke chapter 2, verse 10, we bring you good news. Good news. That will cause great joy for who? For all the people. For all the nations of the earth. For all the people. God had in mind everybody. Everybody. Do I dare to say today? God had in mind the atheists. God had in mind the Muslims. God had in mind the Christians, the Buddhists, the Hindus. Name it. God had in mind everyone. Everyone. That they will have this joy. Joy to the fullest. Christmas joy. The Christ child is not just for us people. It's not just for you and I who love to come to temple or to be in his service. Christmas joy, the baby Jesus and the risen Lord is for the whole entire earth. God had in mind the whole globe. It is for the shepherds. It is for Mary and Joseph. And it is for those who lost hope. It is for those who joy is empty. It is for those who are in despair. Think of Christmas. This season, we think about the wonderful feelings that the music, the carols, the decorations, and the atmosphere all provide. Yes, it is the most wonderful time of the year. You can think of those memories, those wonderful time, and favorite carols, and parties, and gatherings, and good treats. But also for many today, it is a time of loneliness. It is a time of despair. It is a time of fear. It is a time of loss. It is a time of confusion. But that's precisely is the hope and the joy that we find today. Not in our sense of loss or grief or depression, despair, loneliness, but rather in the one who came to this earth to bring good news to all the people so that you and I and the whole world can find rest in him, can find their solace, their joy, their peace. So how do these shepherds, how do these people find in the very first Christmas, when the shepherds heard the news, you know, they didn't say, you know what, we're so busy right now. We can't even keep up with the schedule of taking care of this ba-ba-ha sheep. You know what they did? They jumped once, not literally, but they got up and they went in haste, in a hurry. Immediately they took out and to go to Bethlehem, to make a journey to Bethlehem. And you know what they did when they found the Jesus, the Messiah? They bowed down and they worshiped him. Men and women, do you long for that joy? Do you long for that peace that the good news of Jesus Christ provide? Here's the lesson for us this Christmas. Worship God the Lord. Worship him with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. Like the shepherds, once again, come to the manger. Come to the Christmas stories. Come and serve the Lord with all your might. Offer your service to God. Your everything. Then the next group that came to Christmas, to this Bethlehem, is a group called Magi, or the kings, or wise men. You know, they came. They came to seek this joy. They have heard so much about this Messiah being born, and they have been studying it all their lives, and they spent all of their wealth. And in fact, they didn't come empty-handed. They came with their possessions and gifts to offer to the one whom they've been looking for. And in Matthew chapter 2, verse 10, it said, when they saw the star up in the sky, you know what they did? They were overjoyed. They were so happy. They were so glad. They were overjoyed to see the star. And when they came to the place, they bow down and worship Jesus. They offer their gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Offering the gifts to this king, the Savior. The right attitude to prepare our hearts for Christmas is to come to this baby Jesus with a heart full of joy, knowing that it indeed Christ is the answer for everything. Jesus really is the answer for everything, folks. You may have heard this several times, and I've said this again. Jesus truly is the answer. Jesus is the answer for everything, for your life, for your family, for our community, for our nations. We read Psalm 67. If you carefully study Psalm 67, every verses. It will say about God's blessing is for you and for all the nations, for everyone. His joy, his peace, his blessing is for the whole entire nations, the whole globe. And Christ is that joy. Christ is that peace. Christ is that hope. Now, we talked about the shepherds. We talked about the Magi, the kings, who came to this Christmas in spite of all these circumstances, in spite of all the barriers, all the difficulties, and all the challenges. They came to Bethlehem. They took a journey to Bethlehem, and they found the peace child. They found the Christ child. But I also want to bring to you, to warn you, to give you a guidance through the Holy Word, that not everyone come to this Bethlehem with joy, with a purpose of finding life and peace and hope. You know who I'm talking about? King Herod. In the story of Matthew, you know how King Herod came to Bethlehem? Remember, he sent the Magi and say, hey, found out where the baby is. And when you found out, could you come back and tell me where that baby is so that I too may worship him? Men and women, you know the story and you know the story well. Do you really think that King Herod was going to truly worship Christ the child? Absolutely not. He was the first Grinch of Christmas who stole the Christmas, right? What did he do? When he found out that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and when he found out that he was outdone by the wise men, what did King Herod do? He ordered all the boys 2 years and under would be killed. He ordered the killing of boys 2 years and under. Imagine it. That was the first Christmas. Think of, we have a good hard time right now. That was in the middle of the time in which our Lord, our God said, peace on earth. Men and women, we live with that. Why? That's precisely the answer why God came to earth, to save us from all of our sins, the sins of King Herod, the sins of all of us. Unfortunately, King Herod didn't want to greet God with the right attitude, with the right mind, and with his whole heart. Why? Because everything about God, everything about Christ threatened his own existence, his power, his position, and his self-centeredness. King Herod was all wrapped up in himself. It's all about him. He could care less about the world, the community, the people. He was afraid to lose his power and his position. So he ordered all the children, under two and under, to be murdered. King Herod is the one that we could learn a lesson from, to say, do you want to receive the joy and the peace and the love and the hope that God brings to all of us? God is giving to all of us back in the day for all the people in Jerusalem, in the Gentile lands, and now to all of us. Then we need to focus on the child. We need to focus on Jesus, whose birthday we truly celebrate this Christmas. King Herod thought it was his birthday. King Herod thought it was all about him. It's about what he got and what he didn't get. And he didn't like the rules. He didn't like, King Herod didn't like the place he's been offered to. King Herod did not want to take any risk in losing what he has. In doing so, he lost everything. It reminds me of a brother and sister who went Christmas shopping at the mall. And the mall was packed, it was busy. And the girl is older, and the little boy was kind of antsy, and so the older sister said, hey, here's three quarters. Go in that arcade and go play games. So the little boy went in and played the game and didn't know the game so well and could not handle the machine so well, so he lost three quarters like in a second. So he came back to his older sister and said, can I have some more quarters? So she gave more quarters. And that's the same thing. Like in 2 or 3 minutes, he would came back and say, can I have more quarters? And finally, the sister said, Chris, there's no more quarters. That's it. And the boy replied, no, I need more quarters. I need to play the games. And the sister said, you know what? You don't always get what you want in life. So it said, learn it when you're young. And that's the rule. To which the little boy looked up to the sister and said, I don't like that rule. We don't like that rule. We don't like the fact that Christmas is not all about us. I want to receive all the joy, all the peace, all the love, all the hope that I can possibly get. But you see, Christmas, if you can think at all about it, it's all about God coming to this earth to bring good news of great joy for all the people, all the nations. And that joy is for everyone. It's not just for us. Is that joy ought to be shared just like the shepherds as they went and spread the good news, glorifying God. As the Magi returned from one route to the next route, continually serving in obedience, worshiping him. As the angel told them not to return to the king, but to go to the land by a different route. Service and obedience to the Lord. You want to have joy? You want to have peace? Do you want to have love like the way it's always intended to be? Then worship God and serve God and follow God this Christmas. You ask me, Pastor, how do we do that? I'm so glad you asked. Serve people. Serve your family. Serve your neighbors. Serve the strangers. Do something incredible. Do something that you would never ever forget, like the Magi offering their gifts to the Lord and saying, here's our gold, here's our frankincense, here's our myrrh. How about go and just oddly so just forgive someone who doesn't deserve your forgiveness? How about just go and love somebody who is unlovable? How about just offer something that you so truly treasure? Give it to that person. I don't know what that is, but our God did. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let us think about that. Amen.